This is Whitney.
And this is Hysterical Women,
the podcast that no one asked for about our thoughts about gender in our society.
Each week, we're going to dissect events, macro
and micro, to determine if we think this week was a win
or a loss for feminism.
Hi.
Hi, Noodles. How are you?
Are you ever worried that you're going to forget what regular water tastes like because you've had so many of these pina colada waters?
That's honestly the dream. Like, I hope to one day be at the point that I'm like, I don't even know what water tastes like, you know?
Yeah. Heck yeah. Shoot for the moon, stars. Happy Earth Day.
Oh my gosh. Happy Earth Day to you. How are you celebrating?
It's snowing outside and I'm celebrating by not taking a morning walk because it's cold.
I celebrated by doing some yoga on the balcony, and it actually was like, I was kind of in a, like a bad mood to this morning because I just was like, I'm so tired of everything right now. But then I was just like, you know what? I never get to do yoga on a balcony in the rain. So today's my chance, you know? And it's like, that's something. But then also Leo was, he came out with me and he just like wanted to cuddle. And it actually was like really funny and cute. And he just was like trying to like be in the middle of the mat, but he kept like dancing around me, but then like nuzzling up to me. And I was like, you know what? Sometimes there are beautiful moments despite how frustrating everything is.
Sometimes there are beautiful moments. Did you feel like Hillary Duff and Let the Rain Fall Down?
Oh, I wish that had crossed my mind, but it sadly didn't.
I think about that, like that song, like once every 2 days, something.
Speaking of that time when that song came out, my mom has this like photo box of pictures I've been going through, and it's like such a stark like shift from when I was like cute until I was just not at all. And so I keep like when I was really little, I think like first grade. Like I had like a long awkward phase. It was from like first grade till like 17. Which I think is about three times as long as most people, which is fine. It's fine. I made it out, but I just like keep texting the photo. Like John's like not interested in looking through these photos with me, but I keep texting him ones and I'm like, this is the ugliest one I've ever seen. And he's like, yeah, cool.
Why aren't you texting me? I live for that stuff.
You're right. I'll start texting him to you.
Come on. I'll at least enjoy them.
You're right, you will. But I was just like looking at her, I was like, oh, that girl's a nerd. I'll show you this one.
Oh my God, no, she's so cute. Stop. You don't even have, you have nothing, you have literally nothing on me in fifth grade.
Oh, fifth grade was hard.
Fifth grade was hard. Sixth grade was a toughie. So was seventh. So was eighth. And then ninth grade, maybe we started getting our shite together.
Okay, brag. I'm so jealous you were a hot freshman.
I get it. Hot, 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 so smoking hot, number one girl in the whole school. What's amazing is no one else from my high school is on this podcast to fact check this. And then actually just continued till now, I guess, wearing two sweaters, gorgeous, bangs gorgeous. Outgrown.
But we'll fix that in no time.
That in no time. Do you have a question?
Well, I wanted to ask what is something that's specific to quarantine that like would not normally happen, but that you're actually looking forward to?
Looking forward to?
Yeah. Like, I mean, now the stakes are really low. So it's just like, it could be something very small, but now it's like, this is all I have to live for.
Can you answer first?
Yeah, I can go first. I just was thinking about today. I was like, okay, so for our listeners, we're doing you guys are the first ones to hear this. So,
oh my God.
We're doing a virtual reading of some of our scripts for Chicago that we're going to send because, sidebar, this is our last week of fundraising. Well, we end next Friday. So, if you want to check that out, we'll put a link in the bio. But we're hosting a virtual reading so that our like email list and subscribers and everyone who's contributed can hear a few scenes from it. And I'm honestly like super excited. Like, I feel like this is kind of like, it's not normalcy, but it was like, oh yeah, we like have an awesome script that we're super excited about and like getting together with some artists and I don't know, just talking to some of them and they're making like really fun choices with it. And like, we have some dancers and like the choreographers are making it so fun. And like, everyone's just like excited to be part of something again. And I was like, I honestly think that that hour and a half we spend with those people tonight is going to be really special and something I'll like remember after quarantine.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. For me, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, you have to remember how to act and read lines and probably read it over.
But so it's also, just like stressful for you.
I'm just like, dang. But honestly, it's going to be so special to me. No, it is. I'm excited. Yes. All those things. Yeah. I don't know. I've been really enjoying just like cooking with my parents. That's lame. But like trying new recipes that I never do. Like I made Indian food last night, and let's be clear, not as good as real Indian food, but I made like a lentil dal, and that's cool.
That sounds so good.
It was really good.
I think John and I need to find it because my mom doesn't love Indian food, but I need some like garlic naan.
Oh yeah. You need some garlic naan. We all need some garlic naan, spiritually, metaphorically, literally. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And like spending a lot of time writing like random things that like I don't really love one act plays, but people have been like, yeah, we're looking for one act plays. And it's like literally all I have is time to try writing a one act play and like taking the stakes off things.
Totally.
So it's like, oh, this sucks. That's fine.
Yeah, it's like we're all crying ourselves to sleep, so it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, I think this is a fun, I feel like a lot of people are like, John just started skateboarding because he's always wanted to. I started roller skating finally because I wanted to. Which, sidebar, I've been roller skating and putting the videos daily on TikTok just for like, no one's watching my TikTok. But suddenly someone found day one and like, so it got like very like 500 views is like not that much on TikTok. But now I have all these like middle school girls and elementary girls commenting and telling me like that I'm doing it wrong and that I should like do rollerblading instead and because it's easier and all this. And then like also last night I posted this. And so then all those girls are like following me now. And I posted this video of Leo last night because he was having like a dream. So he was kind of like twitching and kind of looked like he was like running a little bit. And I was like, oh, he's having a bad dream. And this girl's like, actually, he's not having a bad dream because my dog barks when he's having bad dreams. And I just want to be like, okay, why, you're too young to be putting this kind of energy into the world.
You're getting bullied by a fifth grader.
Not the first time, won't be the last. But I get it because I have empathy for fifth graders because it is hard.
It's hard to be a fifth grader. It's probably really hard to be a fifth grader right now, like on like not having school.
Yeah. Or it's like the best thing ever because you don't really understand the pressure of what's going on and like the enormity. And so you're just like, playtime. Like I have a little niece and she's the cutest, Beth. And she like, I like curled her hair the other night and she's just like coloring a lot and like making a lot of TikTok dances. And I'm like, maybe it would be way better if I was a kid right now.
She's going to have so much content. She's going to have a portfolio.
She truly does. She really does. Do you have a question?
Do I have a question? My question was Earth Day related. And what's your favorite kind of Earth?
Earth?
I don't know. Take that question as it is. I thought of it 45 seconds ago. kind of like, I mean, like, what kind of nature do you like? It could be literal. Like, I like silt. I don't know.
Like, okay. What's your answer? Are you going to make me go first again? After you throw that question at me?
It's a hardball.
This is the question. I just want to clarify for listeners that may be new that this is a question that you wish someone was asking you.
I forgot that that's what this was. Thank you actually for telling me. Here's what I like it all.
Okay.
I like manicured gardens, kind of. Don't go too crazy. But I like nature, like untouched, like mossy kind of big trees. You stand there and you're like, I am but a blip and these trees will be here forever. I like the ocean sometimes, except I'm scared of sharks. Ponds are good unless they're mucky.
I'm so glad I asked you this.
I'm glad I asked you too. I like trees that are like weeping willows. I like birch bark. I like flowers, but not those. Do you know those flowers that smell like bleh? Like so gross, like kind of like semen?
Like semen? Yeah. They're all over BYU's campus.
Yeah, we had one at Vassar, and I would like in the spring, you could not walk by that part of the retreat because it smelled like poop, poop, poopy poop. And it was like, just
don't maybe.
Why do those still exist?
But like in nature, sure. But it's like, why are people still planting them?
Yeah.
Like intentionally, you know, because like there are other options.
There's like actually as a botanist, like a 3 billion other options.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
That's my answer. What would you say?
Okay, I would say like the part of Earth that I would want to spend the most time in is definitely like beachy and a lot of sunshine. That being said, the most like awestruck I've ever been by nature was in Iceland, which I famously had a terrible time in, but did also...
Because you couldn't get a hamburger, right?
No, I did get a hamburger. So here's the thing about Iceland. It's beautiful. I really like think everyone should go. We went for my birthday, which is in early March a few years ago. And it was at the time that I really needed some warm weather and sunshine. And then we went to Iceland. But we planned it so far in advance. Like, I don't know. I've just learned like you don't go to somewhere Arctic in the middle of the winter unless you're like not bothered by the cold and darkness. And then it also is a place that you kind of like drive from place to place and then you see it and then you get back in the car, which I think I just wasn't really in the mood for that. Like I wanted to like get out and like I was tired of being cooped up and I didn't really want to do like a cold road trip. And then also, yeah, the food was like insanely expensive and I spent like $45 to get a very basic cheeseburger. That's how they get you though. Like you like fly to Iceland for like $100 and then spend $100 every meal. And you can't even like buy groceries because the groceries are also so expensive. So anyway, but we went to this glacier lake and I've never been more, it was like at sundown and I've never been more awestruck than I was there. And then that night we saw the Northern Lights, which I was like, this is literally probably the most beautiful place in the world. So those are my answers. Will I go back? No, definitely not.
Been there, done that. Iceland. I always liked how Iceland was the pretty one and Greenland was the bad one, and it was so tricksy of them to name them that way. I think that is an amazing piece of history.
An amazing piece of comedy, really.
And yeah, it's like a long con. And by long, we mean you go there and settle your whole family and life there, and then you're like, heck.
You're like, wait, what did I do?
Wait, what have I done? I don't know if they're British. What's the accent like?
Well, Icelandic is like a very, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like Finnish, I think. I don't know. I have a friend who's learning Icelandic right now. And I think it's mostly just because he's like bored and is like, this is the hardest language. And also thinks that Iceland is beautiful and likes to just go be by himself for 30 days at a time in cold temperatures. Anyway, that was just me bragging about a trip that I hated.
Yeah, cool.
Six. I thought you said 666 and I was like,
oh, like the devil.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't mean like that, but sure.
No, I meant like sick, like skateboarding culture. Like your husband should know about that now that he's like a skateboarder.
You're right. Oh, another thing that I want to say about skateboarding is that yesterday I wore so much protective gear because I actually went to a skate park and it wasn't just even like in the parking lots that I've been practicing in. And I was so scared, but I didn't fall. And then we went to this other park and I was just messing around doing high knees. And then I fell in a crack and fell on my back and my hips and my both my wrists and twisted my ankle. And I was just like, wow, this is real. This is me. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
On the ground. on the ground.
John, like, actually was laughing at me because he thought I was joking at first.
Did you cry?
Yes, I cried. It, like, really hurt. And I also was just, like, mad and embarrassed. And I just was like, I am so tired of doing things that I'm bad at.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is just what, like, quarantine has kind of been. Not really, but yesterday felt like that. Like, I just was like, I had one client and I felt like it was awesome. And then it just went downhill after that. And I was like, everything I'm doing is, I'm not doing great.
And it's so wonderful that you talked to me yesterday. And I wonder where I fell on that continuum of not
that's
great.
That's true. Actually, I feel like
our meeting was like not the best that we ever had yesterday.
But I don't feel like it was, that was probably also the best work that I did, if that's indicative of how the rest of my day was.
Oh, yeah. So on the record, we did incredible work yesterday. Okay, should we talk about feminism?
Feminism. Yeah, I think you should go first.
You're so evil. You're 666. okay, I, like, no one wants to hear this, so I'll go fast. It's about, like, I don't know, I was looking at the news, bravely, and I was looking about how I felt like gender and women were coming up a lot in conjunction with COVID-19. And I feel like everyone already knows this, but if you don't, it's kind of interesting. So I'm just going to breeze past quick. We're going surface level, y'all. Okay.
I think this also is probably just the same thing I'm going to talk about. So we'll just bing, bang, boom through.
Oh, a little ping pong perchance?
A little ping pong.
You know what I would actually love? I would love to watch someone play ping pong over Zoom. Like, that would be fun to watch.
That'd be really funny.
Yeah, that's comedy. Okay, write it down.
Okay.
Okay, so here we got some macros. So first I want to talk about how they're finding that in New York specifically, but they also found that this was a trend in China, that twice as many men are dying from COVID as women, and that they think it's because women have a stronger immune system. Like, part of them are like, is it behavioral? Like, men smoke more and it's a respiratory illness. And then, but they're also like, is it biological? Because women have stronger immune systems, because they're carrying children, because that's like the deal. So they're like, is that part of it? Is it X chromosome related? Because women have two, men have one, obviously. Not all women. This is biologically based gender stuff. Of course, this is the dichotomy that we know is not representative of everybody. But and then someone was talking about how, like, estrogen has a role in immunity. And because women have so much estrogen, like, that could also be playing with it. And then also that there's this protein that acts differently in women called ACE2 that acts differently in men and women, and that is like one of the binding proteins in that's like part of the COVID situation. And I don't know, as like a person who did science before, I mean, I don't think we're going to know anything really for like months and months and months. And then someone said, I know no other disease that has this type of predilection for one gender over another. Not talking about reproductive system diseases, obviously, but it was like, oh, this, like, viruses aren't always like this. And so it's an even like another level of complexity. Anyway.
That's interesting.
It was interesting. And then my second point was that we're finding that women also NYC related, like 52% of the essential workforce are women. And obviously this is like also a race issue and also like a socioeconomic issue, but it was just interesting that it's also women. We talk about the wages and that like men are making so much more money and that like, but when it boils down to this, like, who are essential to keep the country working, that 52% are women, which I think is a very interesting statistic. And then even looking more specifically at like healthcare, that 9 out of 10 nurses are women, and like 2/3 of grocery checkout and fast food. I mean, I've just been thinking a lot about like the healthcare workers and all of these essential workers. And I hope that, like the statistic we talked about last week, how women at the heads of government, that those countries are dealing with COVID better, that like that women are 52% of the essential workforce, that I don't know, that there's like a recalibration of how we treat each other. And there's a quote in this article that was like, mommy fixes people and daddy fixes things, which is like 5-year-old saying it like it is.
It's an astute 5-year old.
Astute 5-year old. And then the last, I was just like really reading so many articles. And then the last one was about working online and all of these Zoom meetings and how Zoom is really not just Zoom, but like these online meetings that women are being cut out of being able to talk. Like we know that like in the workforce and in business meetings, there's the trope, which is a cliche for a reason, that like men talk over women and that women have a harder time saying their piece, or like women CEOs or leaders are like have a lot to say that they're like, you know, annoying, and when men do it, they're brilliant. You know, just like the what is it when it like switches?
It's the saying,
the classic two switch, zippy zap. It's called a double standard. Oh. Double standard, or as the intellectuals like to call a zippy zop. Zoom kind of, sorry, I'm just like shitting on Zoom and it's all of them, but we're getting sued by Zoom. They're going to take away your Zoom channel. But that it, because of how women on average, or like, you know, this is an overgeneralization, but like the kind of extra levels of empathy and like sensitivity and speaking times and length of pauses and frequency of questions, and also like often, I know that I do this, that like self-deprecating nature that women sometimes speak with really disadvantages them in Zoom meetings because of how the like the audio is kind of weird and the flipping of the cameras. It's all about like who is kind of talking for the majority of the amount of time. Like that's how you get your sentiments across. I don't know. It was just interesting.
I wonder also if something goes into it where it's like, and I just talked over you, sorry. I thought you were pausing. But like,
exactly. And that is exactly it.
But like being more aware of when you're being talked over because you're not in the normal space. Like when you're in, I feel like, at least for me, when I'm like a normal day, it's like if you're working, you know, you're kind of going in and out of the same space. But it feels like for me now working on Zoom, it's like I'm working or I'm like at home. Like it's such a stark like difference. And so I feel like being in like your own territory and then being part of those conversations feels more like stark than it would in the workplace. And like if people are just like becoming like even more aware of it because they're like, wait, that I don't like that. I don't know.
Totally. And I also think that like when you're in a meeting, a regular like all together meeting space, whoever is kind of facilitating it can like be reading off facial cues of like when people have thoughts, or like kind of mediate it a little bit more. But because of Zoom, it's just like glitchy and a lot less feasible to do that. Like I was reading, and one boss was saying how they like were trying to like give thumbs up and like to like when they liked when people were talking, instead of being, because you can't really be like, yeah, because that's going to cut out the audio too. I don't know. I thought it was just something interesting, and it made me think about like our Zoom meetings and other Zoom meetings that I'm going to be into. First off, to like set myself up to be able to express myself in the best way that I can, but also to be like very aware of other people talking and just how to make Zoom like work for everybody.
Yeah. I don't have a solution to that. That sucks. Okay. Well, mine actually are different, but also COVID related. And the unfortunate thing, as I was looking at articles about this, is that none of them really were citing research, which was kind of unfortunate because I feel like that kind of takes away the credibility, even though I think that they actually have very important, like real messages. But just basically that it was like one of the articles that I was reading was like both parents now, like obvious. So for one, and again, if there was a statistic on this, I couldn't re-find it. But just that more women have been laid off than men. And so now there's like, so women are being more affected by unemployment levels, but then also it was talking about how when there are two, so it was like 50% of, over 50% of families, both spouses are working outside of the home normally. And now both parents are working at home, but the moms are still are feeling more of the weight of childcare, which is unfortunate because I feel like in a lot of those, you know, situations, hopefully the like parents made a decision to like find childcare out of the home so that both spouses, like clearly that's like important to them that like both spouses were able to continue like pursuing their career or, you know, whatever. And so it's like, even when that maybe is a priority to people, then like in practice now when both spouses are at home, it still is kind of reverting to the women. That was one specifically that was kind of, it cited these articles and one of them was like a someone's blog from 2017. And I was like, that's not like really statistics. But I think they talked about some like Facebook polls that they did. And I think that a lot of women are feeling that way. But then also like, I have a lot of friends who are like at the point where they're like about to have a baby and like give birth right now. Or like, I have a friend who just did, and it kind of seems like every hospital is treating like new expectant mothers differently. And just seeing that like a lot of them are not really being prioritized. And like a lot of them are like not allowed to have their spouse in the room, or they like are able to give birth and then have to go home in like 12 hours, or I don't know, just a lot of things that are like, you know, obviously it's like you have to do what's best for society and keep everyone safe. But it's like, I don't know, I just have a lot of friends that it's like, this is their first baby, and like not being able to have anyone in the room is like so traumatic. And I don't know, it's hard. And it's my brother-in-law is a OBGYN, and he's, you know, going to the hospital every day, and they like had a COVID patient like giving birth. And I mean, there's no like right solution, I don't think, but it's just, it's been interesting that like that hasn't been something that's been addressed at like it's a decision that's being made by every hospital, it seems like, which to me feels like such an important thing that should be addressed at like a government level and like to make sure that women are safe and like taken care of during like, I don't know, maybe one of the most important like moments and like vulnerable moments.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so hard because it's like maybe having nobody in the room is like statistically the way to have lowest risk of COVID transmission because we don't know who carriers are, and like because babies are so susceptible because they have like literally nothing, like no barrier.
But it is also like one of my friends who was really upset about it, she was like, there have been zero infant, like the infant mortality rate is zero. Like it just kind of feels like it's not really a decision that's being made based on this situation. And like, I don't know, I know every healthcare worker has like a different opinion about going to work right now. Like, cause I know a lot who are like, this is the job, like, this is what we signed up for, like kind of thing. And so they're like, yeah, if we're like use, you know, the protective equipment and like, you know, whatever, then I don't know. I feel like there could be, and we're obviously limited still on like supplies and things like that. So I don't know. I don't really know the right answer, but it just was like unfortunate that it felt like it was being kind of like a last priority.
Totally. Yeah. I think that like the hospitals, the top of their mind is COVID. And like, I mean, there's also just like high numbers of deaths of people who don't have COVID, but have other illnesses that aren't being able to be treated. And it's coming from us first, folks, that this is bad. This is really bad. But that's, I mean, I hate the idea that these like new vulnerable mothers are like feeling so like under-supported and also scared in this like really scary, intense time. It's a mess.
Yeah. That's not great. Not great. Not great.
Thinking about this, I'm like, I don't really even think any of these are like, I don't know if we can be like, that's a win, that's a loss, because like, it's all generally like bad. But here's something that's a win. Priyanka Chopra Jonas, Nick Jonas'
wife,
is now kind of the face of LiteRite Croc clogs, which I think is really kind of an incredible statement, because Crocs are so ugly. Not ugly per se, but definitely have been like the punchline of footwear world, I think, for a long time. And for such a gorgeous, smart activist actor to kind of take them on.
Brave.
It's brave. It's also like she can do whatever she wants. And that's powerful to me.
I love that. I have some friends who have actually been advocates for Crocs for years.
I would say I had Crocs in high school.
I actually still do. That's not exactly true. I had Crocs in high school also. I feel like they were like
what
bright.
Color?
I can't remember. They definitely weren't red. I was not a red. I think maybe pink, like hot pink or orange.
Wow. Did you have the little buttons? They would like go in the holes. That was too much for me, but that's just my, what I think that was also beautiful about Crocs is like, you get to decide what kind of Croc girl you are. And that is also for men. They get to decide what kind of Croc girl they are too. Any kind of person can decide what kind of Croc girl they are.
And also, I actually still, I don't have Crocs, but I have these like clogs that actually just look like black Crocs, but they don't have the holes or the like little band. So it's just
supportive. The headband for your ankle.
I saw this tweet once that I always think about at Crocs. And she's like, the strap for Crocs is to keep them on during sex. Like to help them stay on or something. And I think that's so funny. But yeah, so I guess I kind of also am a Croc girl.
You are Priyanka Chopra, kind of. very similar careers and lifestyle choices
and
husband
amount of money. Yeah,
amount of money.
I was gonna say this is like not feminism at all, but it just was like a woman, and because we've like mentioned Gwyneth Paltrow before, I thought it was funny. Gwyneth Paltrow's daughter wrote down. To make fun of her mom, her to-do list, and she like wrote it in a journal, and I don't know how old she is. She must be like 10 or something. Her name is like Apple or something.
Her name is Apple.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah, it's Apple. But her to-do list that she's making fun of her mom is make more vagina eggs and candles. And then also legible on the page are the words finite, only barely enough, and a scarcity model, which are like, they're like, that's Paltrow's business acumen is catching on with her daughter. And I just was like, that's funny.
And that ties back because in Contagion, a film about a killing virus, it was all Gwyneth Paltrow's fault and she dies first.
Damn.
Really crazy how the world just comes around and around and around and around, go back around. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, I love that.
I think a 10-year-old named Apple using humor, finding comedy is a win for feminism.
Me too, honestly.
So that's two wins, I think.
We are finding the best in this situation, which is a really powerful coping mechanism.
We're Silver Linings Playbook. Are you Jennifer Lawrence or Bradley Cooper?
I think probably Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, you would think so, huh?
Yeah. Who do you think you are?
Robert De Niro, who loves...
Yeah, I didn't know that was an option.
You're not Robert De Niro.
I'm not Bradley Cooper or Jennifer Lawrence either, though.
You're
although I kind of feel like Bradley Cooper running in those trash bags is me in a way.
That is you in a way. You're the brother. No, yeah. You're the brother-in-law of Jennifer Lawrence, who's married to Julia Stiles, who has that monologue about being like, I just get so mad sometimes, and I have to put on metal music. And everyone's like, actually, he's the least okay in this whole movie. I'm just kidding.
That's me?
Just kidding. I just wanted to remember that performance, which is incredible.
Yeah, it really is.
I love that movie.
I haven't seen it in like a year, but I feel like it's something that I should maybe revisit.
Yeah.
I feel okay. I don't understand how this happened, but I feel like I've somehow run out of content to consume that's interesting to me.
That's fair.
I don't know. Like, I feel like silly me back in January was like, I need like a month off so that I can catch up on all the shows that I missed. And then I actually only watched like two shows and I was like, wait, I actually, even with all this time, don't care about anything else.
Cool. And that's a loss for feminism. No,
that's a win for feminism because I'm trusting my heart, actually. Thank you very much.
Are you going to watch that show that's like too hot to handle on Netflix? Are you about this?
I haven't heard about it. Uh-uh.
Okay, here's the premise. It's a group of the hottest people in the world. And they are at a luxury kind of beach situation. And guess what, Whitney? It is amazing. There is food, there's alcohol, music, everyone's so hot. I guess they could only pack bikinis and swimsuits, basically. But guess what? They cannot touch. They can have no relations. And if they do, they lose points/money. It's unclear. And it's just so many confessional booths of her being like, yeah, but it's like, are we not going to be able to fuck? And everyone's like, wow! and so I just feel like that's kind of bachelor-y.
You know what I love is that your Netflix has suggested that and mine hasn't.
It's at the top of my thing every time. Why do they think that? I'm watching wholesome garbage.
I don't know, but I've been watching this show with my mom called List It or Love It, and honestly, it's so satisfying, but the episodes are an hour long. It's like on HGTV, and the people like want to leave their house, so they have like a designer come in and revamp it, like redesign it, and then also they have a realtor showing them what else is on the market, and at the end, they have to decide if they want to keep their house or if they want to move, and it's like the most therapeutic thing ever, and just like watching something that was like kind of bad before become beautiful and for people to like choose it again is like really happy. So maybe that's not even on Netflix, so I don't know why I haven't, what I don't know, but that show has not been suggested to me.
My quick micro is that I was forced, just kidding, I totally said yes to watching 1917, which I kind of swore I would never watch. Which is, there's literally one woman and one baby in a movie that there's like 40,000 people cast in this movie. And I gotta say, if you are a white man and you are not in this movie, what's wrong? There were so many people in this movie. And I was just, you know, it just annoyed me. Like, yeah, it was a beautiful movie. Obviously, it was $100 million. Let's hope it would be beautiful. But the truly redeeming part was that Hot Priest from Fleabag was in it, and he got to be an incredible character. He like was the best part of the movie, I thought. Yeah, so that was kind of a loss for me, but also sometimes it's good to see things, and it really reminded me how little I remember about history. I was just like, wait, where are they? And everyone's like, France, that's where the war happened. And I'm like, right.
That's honestly how I felt when I watched Dunkirk. I was like, wait, isn't this D-Day?
And here's like, my question. How are those not the same movies?
I don't know.
Anyway.
See, that's what I'm saying. I just haven't found anything else that I want to give my time to.
Yeah, don't do it.
I won't.
Do you have an artiste of the week?
Yeah, so there's a company that I wanted to highlight, and it's called The New Black, B-L-A-K, and the founder of it, that I'll look up her name in one quick sec. Okay, so her name, the founder is named Amanda Dare, and she created this line of fashion after working in, she was like in retail management for a while, and just was like so disheartened at how the people were being treated and the way that the clothes were being made, just like not ethically. And so she started this company, and she said that like when she was working that her overheads basically were just trying to use fear to like incentivize her, to incentivize employees, and like everything just was like a fear tactic. And she's like, I just feel like there's a better way to do things. So she started her own company, and everything I believe is handmade by women, and it's all sustainably made clothing. And it's like, I don't know. It just is like, she's like, so you feel good buying it and you also feel good wearing it. And it's just like this beautiful synergy of someone who's like trying to make a difference in the world, both in like literally from the bottom up, and just making sure that everything is made ethically and like fair labor and hiring women. And anyway, so I thought that was exciting. And she also, I was looking, has some, she has this like new line with some cute like leopard stuff, but they have masks, like quarantine masks right now. So if someone's looking for one still, check it out.
That's amazing. Love the use of the word synergy. Love her whole philosophy. Love women making clothes that are ethically made in No Fear. My artist of the week is Merritt Weaver. Again, it will be her forever. I think she is a gem in the American acting world. She makes me proud to be an actor. She is so good in the second episode of Run. Maybe you should watch that.
Is it, what's the genre?
It's like comedy and like with a touch of thriller.
Oh, I'd be into that probably.
Yeah. It's like so much less dark than Little Killy Kill, Evie.
Killing Eve. Yeah. I still haven't finished season two. Yeah. Is it HBO?
Yeah. They just let her have so much fun. You know, when they let actors have so much fun and just like make so many weird choices and like idiosyncrasies. And I'm just like, yum, yum, yum. And even though it was slightly inappropriate, I watched it with my parents and John and it was a time to be alive.
I love that for all of you.
I think it was a loss for the week, but I think that's okay because Crocs and Goop.
Those are big wins.
Those are big wins.
I love
huge,
that.
Huge, really. Astronomical.
Like, especially compared to everything happening in the world, it's like, where are our priorities if they're not with Crocs and Goop?
And with that, we were taken off the air. The air.
Oh, right. My goodness. Well, TTFN.
What?
Ta ta for now.
Oh, TTFN, yeah. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening.
If you listened.
If you like the pod, hit subscribe and leave us a review.
Also, if you have a macro event that you'd like us to cover, slide into our DMs on Instagram @hystericalwomen.